All right, great to have you back with us as we get ready for baseball today. The Giants and the Reds out in Goodyear, and we're going to have to change the open. He's no longer the third base coach for the San Francisco Giants. He is the professor, and he is a consultant, and he's in spring training. He's in uniform. Whoa, how are you?
Hey, Marty, quite the introduction. I appreciate it. Yeah, that's right. I'm not the third base coach anymore, but I have my eyes on one great Mark Talberg today over here in Goodyear, and I'm doing good. We just arrived at the ballpark, and I'm ready to go.
Yeah, well, let me ask you about that because, you know, we still call you the professor. You're still that. But what is, should we call you a consultant, a coach, emeritus? It's your 35th year. You're really still a coach because you're in uniform working.
Yeah, you know, my title's a special assistant to player development, but I'm still coaching.
Okay.
You know, I'm still doing the same thing, helping the guys out and giving my input here and there. You know, the big difference, obviously, I won't be coaching third or on the field, you know, during the games, but I'll be at most home games in uniform and watch it out in uniform. I'll get up to Sacramento quite a bit and work with the AAA club and down to San Jose a little bit as well. So I'm looking forward to it. It's great to be around the guys again. And I've already been at minor league camp for 2 weeks when it first opened, and I really enjoyed it. It was nice to see, you know, all the prospects and all the players in the organization, along with the coaching staffs and the young coaches that are around there. So I really enjoyed it, and I'm looking forward to working with everybody.
So what kind of advice do you give Mark as the third base coach? Because Joey Malfitano and Flan, of course, you've been around them for so long, and you learned so much. Wendell Kim as well, way back. Well, what do you tell Mark, or what kind of advice do you give him?
Well, you know, he's going to be great because he already has experience. You know, he's managed in the minor leagues, and he's coached third. But to your point, you know, I had a presentation with the minor league camp with all the coaches that wanted to come about coaching third. And, you know, some of the stuff I learned along the way, like you said, from Joey Amalfitano, all the things that he taught me. Herman Franks pulled me aside when I first started doing it, and he told me, take charge of the position and don't ever let a player say he can't get your signs. And I took that to heart because it's a reflection on you. So you learn that you got to find a sign that the guy can get. If he can't get yours, you say, hey, what do you want? So he makes sure that he gets a sign. He gives you the signs. But, you know, Mark's going to do great. You know, being here is good because we go over situations and I could give him my thoughts on a lot of things. So, again, he's done it before. But, you know, it's nice to have someone to talk to, just like I had Joey Amalfitano about, you know, situations, positioning, you know, really doing the signs. There's all kinds of stuff that comes up in this game, and there's a lot that we've been talking about. We worked closely last year together. He helped me with the running game with information. So I'm just trying to return the favor and help him the best I can to answer his questions as well.
Yeah, the one thing you always told me that I like was you like to look in the players' eyes when they're coming around the bag. That's a good one for me.
Well, I'll tell you, you know, you can do all the preparation. You know, the scoreboard tells you the situation of the game, and you do your preparation, look at the fielders, you know, look, know their arm strength, where the ball's hit, fast field, slow field, you know, who's coming up, what the next matchup is, of course, the number of outs. But you could do all that, but you have to stay in the moment because let's say the guy gets a hit, it's a weak ground ball, it gets through, and you think, oh, he's going to score easy because you did all this preparation. The outfield's deep. Next thing you know, the guy got a terrible jump, and he's not even at third base yet. And then you have to change gears and say, oh, I have to hold him up. I just can't send him. So it's a tough position. You mentioned the great third base coaches already, and Joey Amalfitano and Flan, and I think Mark Talberg is going to do a fantastic job for the Giants.
Yeah, I've always said it, well, other than managing a club, I think third base is the second toughest job on the field because, you know that feeling when the guy gets thrown out at the plate. You know, you want to hide.
Yeah. No, you're right. I think you can have a direct influence in the outcome of the game, you know, probably more so than any other coach. I mean, it's not true. I mean, coaches do a lot of preparation before the game, but in the moment, if you get a guy thrown out or you make some mistakes or multiple guys thrown out or you hold up a guy that could score, it has a direct outcome of the game, your decision does. So, but the one thing Mark's going to learn is, you know, everybody wants action. Everywhere I go, I think I told you this story before, people say, just send them, just send them, send everybody. And I always tell the fans, I say, hey, look, you gotta coach third like Kenny Rogers plays cards. You got to know when to hold them is the really most important thing.
Boy, great. Great. Yeah, it's great to talk to you. How was your off season? How'd you do?
It was great. You know, I had a very relaxing time. We didn't do all that much like everybody. You know, the COVID was winding down, and that was nice. But Lori and I just stayed in the area. I got back east a few times to see my mom and my family. But we didn't do much traveling. We just laid low, but we had a wonderful winter.
All right. He is, what are you, well, a special assistant, is that what it is?
Yeah, it's a special assistant to player development.
I'm going to call you a coach. Is that okay?
That's fine. That's what I do.
Yeah, the professor and a coach, that's as far as I can remember.
Okay.
Otherwise, I won't know what I'm talking about. Hey, a couple of things that came up. One, I was thinking about this. Look, you've been down the road many times, 35th year with the organization, the four World Series. When you come back to spring training after years like that, and last year was 107 wins, and it went down to the last second against the Dodgers, what's the attitude when you come back the next year? And what do you see in this spring with being around the ball club?
Well, whenever you have that much success, I mean, it breeds a lot of confidence, you know, coming into next year, and you're excited to see everybody. You know, everybody had good years, the team had success, so there's always a good positive vibe going. And I think that's the biggest takeaway from when you win. And, you know, we have a lot of the same guys back here. I think that, you know, the business as usual approach, I mean, Cap's in his third year now. And the players here knows how he likes to operate and the coaching staff. So things are running smoothly so far. But as far as the winning, you know, you can't wait to get back. It was a little different because of the lockout. You know, everybody was on pins and needles. Are we going to play? Are we not going to play? When's it going to happen? But we've been dealing up with some, you know, strange stuff the last 3 years, right? The COVID situation, the abbreviated season. So we're hoping we can get back to just the normal routine and the normal spring training, which even this spring is not, right, Marty? We got a short spring, so that's probably for next year.
So what do you work on with these guys? It is a shorter spring, and look, Luciano is there, and you've mentioned Schmidt, and the young shortstop from A-ball last year. We've chatted about him. What are you working on with these guys?
Well, I'm trying to get a handle on all of them, to be honest with you, you know, to get to know the players, and not just the infielders, but the outfielders or pitchers, you know, what they're doing at the plate. So I'm doing a lot of head on the swivel, you know, when there's multiple games going on, like let's say at the minor league park, to watch as many players as I can. Obviously here it's the same thing, you know, I've always been an infield guy, but I'm trying to watch, you know, the pitchers and get involved with some other areas. But just normal development stuff. I mean, you know, I saw Luciano. He's gotten better. You know, you want to see improvement from the young guys. And even here at the major league level, you know, there's some guys that can fine-tune some things. And there's a little competition in some positions, especially, you know, in the pitching department, in the bullpen. We got a lot of great arms. So it's just the normal work that that you do in the spring.
Kapler mentioned the other day, and he mentioned you specifically working with Luciano on his throws. Is that something that you're working on all the time with him?
Not all the time, Marty. I mean, I haven't had my the opportunity to work with him, you know, as much as I'd like. But I'm going to get back over to the minor league camp. I'm certainly paying more attention to everything he does. You know, it's just not the physical work, but you know how he goes about the job. You know, the mental side of the game, you know, how he prepares, the confidence that he shows. You know, there's a lot of things that, go into making a good ball player. And these are the things that you try to learn about somebody to help them the best. It's not always physical. It could be mental. It could be confidence. So I'm trying to learn the guys and get to know them the best I can.
Someone mentioned the name to me, Brett Auerbach. Have you run into him yet? He plays every position, including catcher. Have you seen him at all?
Yes, I have. You know, right now he's the leading candidate for the Willie Mack Award here in spring training. he's impressed everybody that's been around him. You know, he's a catcher, second baseman. He's played all over, but we're using him at catcher. And at second base, he's a tough kid. He's a grinder. You know, he reminds you of the Bill Miller type guy. You know, the guys that are just fighting for a job, fighting for his playing time, his whole career. And he's impressed. He's looked good, you know, behind the plate. Catching is from what I'm told. I haven't seen him a whole lot. I've seen him at the plate, and he always seems to do something good offensively. So he's a player to keep an eye on. I think he's a young player that has really stood out in both camps, their minor league camp, and now he's gotten a chance over here as well.
I love it. He's non-drafted. He's a non-drafted kid out of the University of Alabama, a couple of years at JC before that. And he plays in San Jose, hits the ball pretty good, and then they send up to Eugene. He hits 15 out in 53 games. How about that?
No, you're right. And you know, he's opened a lot of eyes already. And, you know, you know what? It's a good story, as you like to say. And you got to keep watching him because there's a lot of baseball left to play. But he's off to a tremendous start in his professional career.
You know, spring training always, you know, it's a little looser than other times. I don't know if you saw it today, but the Astros are playing the Nationals today. And Dusty brought out the lineup card, and for the Nationals, his son Darren brought out the lineup card to bring to Dusty, and they embraced it home plate. And that, you know, it's one of those baseball moments, and I know you could appreciate this one.
You know, absolutely. You know, we don't see those as often as we did years ago, and I think it's great. You know, I got a text a couple days ago from Chris Berman, who it was his managerial debut, and Boach had him down here on St. Patty's Day. Managing the team. And remember in spring training, he got the whole infield together and reminded the guys, Bum was on the mound. He had Sandoval at third, Craw at short, Panic at second, and Belt at first. And he reminded the guys that that was the infield that ended the game for the 2014 World Series. So it was a great moment and a great reminder. And I'm happy to see Dusty get that moment with his son. That's awfully special, and you gotta appreciate Dave Martinez and the GM Rizzo over there probably for making that happen for Dusty.
Yeah, it was really. It's on the internet. You'll see it. It's been tweeted out. It really was a nice moment. I remember Charlie Pride, Garth Brooks played. Did you ever remember those guys playing?
Well, yeah, I was with Boach, you know, a couple of weeks ago, and we were talking about Garth Brooks. I guess he just had a concert in San Diego that Boach went back to with a few of the old boys from San Diego. But no, Garth was in camp with Boach. He was there the whole month, I believe. I remember we were playing against him, and he wasn't so bad, you know. But I remember when he was in camp with the Padres. You don't forget those moments.
Yeah, that's it's what makes baseball baseball, and I love it. Replay. I want to talk to you about replay a little bit. Then we have, you've got some thoughts on it, and I think, you know, we've got the Posey rule in baseball. I think we're going to have the WOTUS rule here for replay, but let's talk a little bit about it. You've got some thoughts about replay.
Well, yeah, I think, you know, there's so many rules that, you know, they're changing constantly in the game, you know, like in Double-A on down, you know, they can't shift now. And even though they can't shift, the second baseman cannot go out on the grass. And, well, if you don't allow him to shift, the second baseman should play as deep as he wants because if a ball hit to his right up the middle, the shortstop won't be there to pick it up. So I don't understand that. And I think back to replay, you know, one of the things in the game today that MLB has been trying to accomplish is the lengthened pace of game. And replay is certainly slowing it down. Now, it's not going away. But, you know, us on the field, we got 20 seconds to make a decision whether we want to replay or something, replay a particular play or not. So, you know, we got to hold the umpire. We got to tell the umpire, hold on. We got to go to the phone, which takes a few seconds. We got to call upstairs, and your guy in there is looking at the 16 channels to make a decision. Now he's got probably 15 or 14 seconds to decide whether we replay it or not. Okay, so that's our time limit. Now it goes over to the umpires, and they get 2 minutes. They get 2 minutes to get it right. But they're always going over 2 minutes because there's so many caveats to the umpire's discretion when we're looking at replay, like if we have to place runners, et cetera, they could take as long as they want, as everybody has seen. Sometimes it goes over 3 minutes. So, you know, they got to find a way to put a restriction on the umpires as well, because I think it's only fair, and I think everybody in the game, you know, wants it to speed along. Nothing breaks the momentum of the game worse than the replay.
I love it. Okay, the WOTUS rule is if we get 20 seconds and you get your 2 minutes, you better make a decision in 2 minutes.
Yes, let's keep it to okay. 2 minutes at least. I mean, hey, give them a minute and a half. I think they should be able to get it done in a minute and a half. We get in 20 seconds. Come on.
And they could be looking at it before you even decide.
Well, that's the thing, but they usually don't. I mean, by the time they start their clock, they don't start their clock when we tell the umpire, hold on a second. They can start that clock whenever they want. It might be 15, it might be 30 seconds later. Who knows when they start the clock? You know, there's really no data on that.
This is good. This is an investigation. This is like, remember the baseballs in Colorado? I think FP led an investigation of that. Remember that one?
Oh, do I remember it? I watched the bat boy a whole game once, a 9-inning game. He had 2 ball bags next to him. And every time they threw a ball out of the game, I watched what bag he put it in and what bag he took the other balls out. I'm not exaggerating. For 9 innings, I was sure they were putting the hard baseballs back into the game late in the game. And I was fixated on that. So, yeah, no, that was a big ordeal, and that was a real thing that we were all worried about back when that was happening.
I love it. All right, you've done investigations before. This is good. All right, that's going to be the WOTUS rule. All right, you know what I was thinking? There was some crazy check swing calls at the end of the season last year. I mean, just brutal. What's the standard on a check swing as far as you're concerned? Well, what's a swing and what's not?
Well, you know, in the rule book, it talks about if he attempted, you know, at the ball. And it's not the break of the wrist or did the bat go across the plate. It's whether he offered at the ball or not. And it is the most difficult call in sports for the umpires. And, you know, if you talk to umpires, and they're pretty good at their job all in all, considering what they have to deal with. But the check swing is the most difficult call. I mean, I'm standing down there at third, and the lefty checks his swing. It's really difficult to tell if he went or he didn't go. But I think the good umpires in general, are calling those strikes because it's awfully hard to start your swing and stop it on a check swing. And I have no problem when you see a check swing and, you know, did he go, did he not go? He probably went. But when a guy puts, you know, a full swing on the ball and they look down at the umpire and he says no swing, I think that's a little harder to swallow. So there's no fine line with it. It's up to the umpire's judgment. And whenever you have different people using their own judgment, it's going to be an inconsistent call. You know, it'd be great that if they could do something on the check swing electronically. I think that would clean a lot of that up. And I've never heard anything like that discussed, though, so I don't think that'll happen.
No, my thought is you should have it as part of the replay. But limited, you know, you can't ask it all the time. But I think a replay is because when you see the replay, when the guy really does swing and they don't call it, it's pretty obvious. So I think it should be part of replay. That's my opinion.
I agree with you. When you slow that down and you see the replay, then, you know, 90% of the time those guys are swinging, no doubt.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. That's good. All right. So we've solved that problem. Very good.
Well, you're the one that can do the investigation, Marty. We know that with the law background. We need an investigator. You're our guy.
All right, and plus you're the professor, so you know this is a high level firm we got going here. All right, I like it. All right, now the Robo Ump. That's going to be in the Pacific Coast League this year. They're actually going to have it in the West and in certain games in Charlotte in the East. And you brought up a good point when we chatted about it, and that the Robo Ump will change the catching position to some degree, because now, well, when you're there, they teach catchers one-legged this, get down, do this, do that, pitch framing. That goes by the boards with a Robo Ump, doesn't it?
Yeah, it really does. I mean, that's the main focus with the catching guys today is receiving, you know, and stealing strikes. And that's why you see a lot of catchers down on one knee trying to steal pitches. They teach the catchers to, you know, catch that ball and jerk it up into the zone. They move the ball two feet at times. You know, the old days, the umpires would yell at the catcher if he moved his glove. Quit trying to make that look like a strike. You know, they would get mad at you, and they would call it a ball if you pulled that stuff. Of course, that's gone, but this is what's happening today is stealing strikes is the number one thing with catchers. So, you know, once the Robo Umps come into play, which it's going to be in Sacramento, and that's another thing about the game. We're going to have guys down there in AAA, you know, dealing with the Robo Ump, and, you know, when they come up here, they're going to play by the old rules. So, you know, the catching position, I think you're going to see it modified a lot if this Robo Ump comes into play in the major leagues. You know, what you look for, and obviously the receiving is going to go by the wayside.
Interesting. Wow, interesting. I hadn't thought about it until you brought that up. Yeah, pitch framing is a thing of the past because the computer will tell you if it's a ball or strike. I don't care what you do with the glove.
Exactly. So maybe they'll go back to the guys that can throw and guys that can block, and they're not going to worry about, you know, his framing ability. Because right now, throwing is probably the last thing on the list. And then certainly blocking, because when you're down on one knee, it's hard to block the ball. It's hard to block the ball when you're down on one knee a lot of the times.
Boy, so that'll be the end of the one knee. You won't be doing that again. Oh, interesting. Okay. Hey, the other thing that's changed this year, and of course for the National League, and, you know, you've managed games. Managers have been thrown out, maybe an interleague game where they had the DH. Here it comes, the DH in the National League. What's your feeling about it?
Well, I've been pretty outspoken that I've been in the National League my whole life. I mean, as a player, as a minor league manager, and as a bench coach. And it's just not the same game for me. It takes away a lot of the thinking in the game. It takes away, even for the fans, a lot of the controversy in the game. You know, the discussions on talk radio. Should you pull Bumgarner in the eighth when he's down by one run, or do you let him hit? You know, double switches, keeping people in the game. Decisions, the bunting is going to be gone, right, Marty? No one's going to be bunting anymore. So on defense, you don't need bunt plays. It takes a lot of the interest away, in my opinion, and now it's just about pitching and hitting for the most part. And so it changes the game. It simplifies the game and what we have to work on here in spring training. You don't have to worry about the pitchers hitting, you know, bunt plays, you know, things of that nature. And it limits the decisions for the manager. So I'm not a fan of it, but that doesn't matter. The game keeps evolving. The rules keep changing. And I'm happy to be part of it and do what I can with the rules we're playing under.
You know, this extra inning thing has come up again. And Kapler mentioned it the other day in his press conference that they're thinking about maybe having the extra inning runner come back because they're concerned about all the long games and doubleheaders and travel and all that kind of stuff. But right now, there is no – the extra innings right now would be just a normal extra inning. How do you feel about that if they – let's say they brought the extra inning runner back, let's say the 12th inning instead of the 10th, as opposed to just not having it at all?
Yeah, I think that would be fine. Look, we played under that rule last year, I think. And look, I was a traditionalist. I didn't want to see a lot of things change in the game. We talked about, you know, a pitch clock or speeding the game up with the replay. We just spoke about that. I think that's the number one issue with the game, you know, speeding it up. Nobody wants a four-hour game. Nobody wants a five-hour game. If you go 20 innings in the game, the players don't want it, the umpires, the fans, the ushers working, everybody. TV doesn't want it. So I think it's a good rule, and it's hard for me to believe that I'm saying this, but it brings action to the game today. And if that's what the fans want, they want a quicker game and more action, then I think it's a good thing for the sport, because a lot of the traditions are going out the window in baseball. So we might as well make it fan friendly. And especially in this year, I think that early in the year, you know, we're not having our normal spring training, and a lot of guys may not be as ready as they were in the past. But I think all in all, the players would like it too, because when you go 15, 16 innings and you deplete your pitching staff, you know, a lot of guys get sent down, right? You got to need fresh arms. Guys get sound. They get sent down. You got to bring new guys up. So I think the 12th inning would be a good compromise. Maybe not in the 10th, but in the 12th inning, let's put the runner out at second base and bring some action to the game.
Boy, as we wrap it up here, good first session, Wo. You're the consultant, you're the coach, you're the assistant, and you're still the professor. So I appreciate you being on. Good baseball discussion on this Sunday morning. Thank you.
Well, Marty, it's good being with you as always. It's great to be back, and you always get my mind thinking about the game, things that, you know, I don't pay a lot of attention to other than the rules we're going to be playing under. So it's great to be with you. Keep up the great work, and I look forward to talking to you next Sunday.
All right, well, take care. All right, that is Ron Wotus, the coach of the San Francisco Giants. All right, time to join the pregame show with Dave and John. Have a great afternoon. Talk to you next week, 11 o'clock, same time on Saturday.